ATS. The following is an exclusive ATS Mix investigative report.
Well, John, you know, I am really excited about this show, and I want to tell you why. We have had masking tape over our mouths, our hands tied behind us. We have been threatened with instant for life that we could not mention who the special guest was that went up there at the James Gillian Ranch. So, hi, John.
Hi. Glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad you are here.
Thank you.
Aren't you excited? This is going to be really, a blockbuster show as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. I'm doing somersaults now as I think about it.
Well, you know what makes it even better?
What?
We have your two co-conspirators from AboveTopSecret.com and the Above Network LLC.
Okay.
Would you like us to connect to one of them?
If we must.
Let's connect first to the outstanding moderator and one of the behind-the-scenes puppeteers from AboveTopSecret.com. It's a.k.a. Cracker, a.k.a. Steven Melzer. Steve-o!
Howdy, guys.
Howdy, hi, brother. Steve. But by the way, when we connected to you, you know, your assistant, your person that screens your calls, Gladys Jean, she was very, very polite when we said, you know, hey, we want to talk to Steven. And then what did she tell you when you thought that it was who?
She said it was Mark Allen pretending to be a rabbit. That's how she introduced me to the call.
And speaking about the Mark Allen pretending to be a rabbit, we also have our beloved boss, the Springinator, a.k.a. Mark Allen. Mark, come on down.
Dun, 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 dun,
what are you people doing on my phone? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
How's it going, guys?
How you doing, Springer?
I'm listening to this insanity, and I'm actually enjoying it, which is concerning.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, it is concerning. Well, I'm going to self-appoint myself as moderator for this intro, and mainly for the reason is all three of you, damn all of you, got to go to the James Gilliland Ranch and went up with a very special guest. And that very special guest,
can I say it?
Is Steve-O.
Skeptic Overlord.
Markaroo?
I'll run with this one. Back in March, one of our members put up a post that AboveTopSecret.com got plugged in the British newspaper called The Guardian. And when I looked at the, you know, I looked at the thread, and it said that British pop star Robbie Williams mentions Above Top Secret in Guardian article regarding what Robbie Williams is doing these days. So there you have it, folks. The special guest star that was up with us at the Gilliland Ranch for the ATS investigative team report that we're lovingly now calling the Ranch Report. Was Robbie Williams, the one and only. And I got to say, Steven and I have met lots of celebrities, and we've had to work with celebrities before, but this guy is absolutely a genuine, nice guy. No
that
ego.
That was Robbie Williams?
Truly interested.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's
I had
nice
no
guy.
Idea.
Actually, this whole trip, if I recall correctly, is a preliminary investigation to see if there is any means or reason for us wanting to go up to do a thorough investigation. Is that not correct?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And we'll let you get to all the technical details in a moment, John. And boy, does he have them, folks. This guy showed up there with more equipment than I think NASA hasn't got anything on Johnny Anonymous. We'll get to that, too. But I do just really, as COO of the Above Network, I want to express our appreciation to Rob and his management team and everybody else. That it was a pleasure. It was a great thing. Okay, now we can have some fun. Go ahead, guys.
All right. Well, listen. You guys, hang on. Let's give the interview a listen. And this is the interview between Johnny Anonymous, Mark Allen, Steven Melzer, and Robbie Williams. So let's give it a listen, and then we'll come back after we give it a shot.
The following is an ATS Mix exclusive interview.
Well, here we are. We're all sitting down here at James Gilliland's SAFTFA Ranch or Sanctuary. The reason why we're sitting down here is because we came up here to do a investigation in Trout Lake, Washington at James Gilliland's Ranch. With us joining in this little special interview is the CEO for AboveTopSecret.com.
Springer here, what's up?
Also joining us from AboveTopSecret.com.
Cracker here, how you doing?
And CFO, I might add.
Yeah.
All right. And then we have a special guest with us. Would you please, for the love of God, tell us why you're here and who you are?
Okay, my name is Robert Peter Williams. I'm from Northern England, a place called Stoke-on-Trent. And my job is pop star.
And it's, how's that working out for you?
It's going all right. It's a bit slow at the moment. in certain quarters, I'm called Robbie Williams. Hello.
Hello. Glad to have you here with us. Now, I guess the first thing we want to find out is, why on earth are you here with these two crazy guys from AboveTopSecret.com?
Well, the bulletin point version of that is, I was raised in a house where my mum was very much into tarot cards. She did readings, she went and saw psychics. I've been around all kinds of weird myths, legends, and, you know, I've been actively encouraged to indulge this kind of stuff, and I've been interested in it ever since I can remember, and along that journey, it's brought me here.
Since I need to kind of plug AboveTopSecret.com, one would always want to know what it was that brought you to the website. Was there something in special that brought you to the website initially?
I'd love to know that.
Do you know what? I can't remember. It's. Yeah, I think probably like most of the people that join the website, trawling.
Accident. Searching for something.
A happy accident. You know.
It's probably Google search or something.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
So it wasn't anything like the O'Hare incident or anything like that?
Do you know what? It actually could have been.
Is that right?
It could have been a link to Above Top Secret. I don't know. It's been a long time.
Kudos to our partner Bill and the Google optimization of the site. I got to plug him. You know, he's a good guy.
I've been reading the site a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what first got me into it. Psychosis and paranoia is probably the main reason.
How's that going for you?
It's going really, really well. I'm holding it down at the moment.
Yeah.
Those are just trees.
Very well.
That's just a van.
Actually, those are Ents.
Well,
Treebeard's out there. He's waiting for us.
Right. Well, we'll see.
I saw
what
him last night after like the 15th Maker's Mark.
To answer your question, I don't know how I got on ATS, but I'm there now.
Very good. Would anybody know you by your avatar name?
Chris on a bike. I didn't ever plan to actually to post. You know, I wasn't going to post and say, hey, I'm Robbie Williams.
Right.
And my normal non-diplume, right, for some reason I didn't use on there. I'm not going to say what that one is.
Sure.
But I'd just done this this piece of work. I'd just actually drawn a picture of actually Christ on a bike.
Right.
With a little halo around it that morning. And so I decided to be Chris on a bike for the day.
Have you had your own experience?
Yeah, I've had quite a few experiences. Of the UFO kind, three or four. Where I was born, where I was raised, and the people in my family, everybody talked about Ouija boards, everybody talked about the paranormal.
Sure.
Everybody had an unhealthy fear in God and Christ. And when I was a kid, we couldn't even look up the Church of England's doorway. As I was told, you can't look down there.
Why?
Because
okay.
it was something that was passed down to my grandma, that was passed down to my mom.
Really?
Seriously.
Wow.
It wasn't until I was about 15 that I actually went, no, I'm going to look through, see what happens.
What happened?
Turned out all right. It really did. Honestly. There, God's all right. Oh, God's all right. So it's all of that. And, you know, that all that, the feeling of things not being quite what they seem.
Sure.
But also, I'm well aware that that just might be my head. But this is the search, and ATS is part of my search.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's our head, man, because I'm a natural-born skeptic, and, you know, I've dabbled in stuff for 20 years, and I've yet to see anything. I mean, I think I saw something last night, but until we analyze a film, who knows? Might have seen something today, could analyze a film, and it could be a bird, you know?
Right.
So until we analyze a film, I don't know if I've seen something yet or not, but I'm convinced there's a hell of a lot more going on than they're telling us or that we know about.
Well,
know?
Here's the thing, if it wasn't for ATS... See, I'm not a natural skeptic. You know, I was born into a family that just believes. And, you know, it's like, I used to, if anybody would say they're mining on the moon, I would just go, yeah, they're mining on the moon, because that guy said.
Right.
And because I just think, why would you lie?
Right.
But then you go on ATS, people debunk things or not, and people show you around how this happens, what that picture actually is or isn't. And, you know, I've become I'm more skeptic than you last night.
Yeah, you were.
I was. I don't mean to bust your reputation.
Usually it's the reverse. Usually people come on and they start believing everything.
It's a good thing, but also it's...
It kind of hurts, doesn't it?
It does, because I want the magic. I want to believe in the magic.
Of course.
We're sorry for that.
I'm on the other side.
Yeah. It's all good.
I spent 20 years creating the sandboxes for the people who believe in the magic to play in online. And I really want to believe in the magic. So it's like we're polar opposites. You know, you came in believing, and you're learning the technology and the facts behind it. I came in going, you know, I haven't seen a damn thing yet, and I know there's something going on, but I don't know what. So I'm hoping to find something. So
The way I'm seeing it now is like, you know, back in the day when they had the carny people that would sell all sorts of lotions for all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
Yep, right.
And you look at that and you go, those guys were idiots. and now I'm buying a planet named after me. do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, if those are the carny idiots then, I'm sure there's carny idiots now.
Sure.
And I think it's good to get a bit of balance, but I still want to believe in the wonder of everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Amen to that.
Not too long ago, what was it, just a couple of months ago, I guess, you posted an experience that you had. Maybe our listeners would...
Actually, I did. I put it in Robbie's own words.
Oh, yeah. 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 So you're
on behalf of Robbie.
He's to blame. Springer hasn't got ADD. My post about the subject would have been like this. I saw something, it was great. Any questions? Springer's got, you know, he can actually sit down at that computer and type better than I can. The few things that I've seen, one was at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
That's awesome.
I was sat on a lounger in the patio area just outside the room, looking up. It was about 11:30. And then all of a sudden the sky went dark. And something silently passed above me, about 200, 300 foot up.
Wow.
No noise. There was some kind of yellow markings that I remember on the bottom of it. And it was kind of a matte black material, kind of Teflon-y. And...
Now, was this day or nighttime?
It was nighttime, about 11:30. I was with a friend. They saw it too.
Silent, right?
Yeah.
Dead silent.
Dead silent.
No air disturbance, no wind.
No. Wow. No, it was, you know, that was amazing.
Was it a clear night or cloudy night?
Oh, no, it was absolutely clear. Yeah, it was absolutely clear.
The reason why I asked that question there, Mark, was because I was curious if maybe it blocked out some of the stars.
No, it did, yeah. Completely, it blocked out all the stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Just for the record, for all the freaks out there, no drugs, no... Yeah.
No.
Relatively clear-minded.
Oh,
maybe
no,
a little sleepy or whatever. But.
Well, as clear-minded as I can be, but yeah, I was completely sober. I was completely sober back then.
I will testify to this right now.
As I am today.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, the other one was, I think, the most bizarre and also... It was the best Friday night that I've ever had. And there's... Few of the people that I'm here with now were there with me.
Yep.
I have a studio in my bedroom. There's a balcony. We just finished writing a song called Arizona, which is about alien abduction. And we were playing it, and a globe turned up in the sky. And this was about 5:30, 6:00 in the afternoon. We were playing it. This globe was there. Then the song went off, and it disappeared. And we all came out. It was like, wow. Did you see that? Yeah, we saw that. Put the song back on again. The song was put back on again. It appeared again. At the end of the song, it went off. And that happened 3 or 4 times with the song. And then Danny, who I'm with, he saw it spin off. But anyway, we then went back into the studio. And we were all looking at each other in awe because something we didn't understand had just happened. Maybe it was a planet that came on and off and it just happened to coincide
with... They do that daily, yeah.
They do that. mainly for my ballads. This was an electro number, so it was quite surprising. And we stood in the bedroom, and the only way that I can explain it was coming through the door of the studio, travelling... 25 feet out of the opposite window was a strip about 2 inches, 3 inches thick that seemed to materialize at the door and then expand solidly all the way for 30 foot, black, as black, you know, as it was. I've called it a black light, that's the only way I know to explain it. A negative light.
Yeah.
And it came in, and then it followed itself and went out the window, and it was a second, maybe, 2 seconds, yeah. maybe, and we all of us saw it. Thinking about it, it's not often that you're going to see a strip of black light that comes through the studio.
You know, that's an alien illegal download.
Probably
that's
is.
They were just lifting your
bastards.
Music.
Bastards. They could just lime wire it, like I do. Anyway, so this strip came in and it went out. And if you're thinking about it, we all should have shut up and then gone away and written what we'd just seen. Right. And then we could have compared, so we didn't.
Well, I would like to say that I talked to 4 of the people that were there last night individually, and they all said the exact same thing. And then all of them together all said the same thing. And they all said the most intriguing part was when the thing appeared, nobody said a word except, what the hell is that? And everybody was on it, looking at it, which, you know, I mean, you got, what, 12 people there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 12 people that all look at the same thing. What the hell is that? And zoop, something happened.
Well, and then after that, it started to get dark. And we saw these two big white lights appear. It was an electrical storm.
Now, are you still in the studio?
Yeah, we're still in the studio, but we're back on the balcony. And an electrical storm came in, and the atmosphere was just magic. Lightning hit the balcony behind us that we were stood on.
Really?
Yeah. And these two, the clouds were low. As I say, the electrical storm came in, and then we saw these two lights above the San Fernando Valley that just danced. And it was happening over our left shoulder, over the other side of the house too, in a different place in the San Fernando Valley. The lights would, it was very balletic. Now, it could have been some very, very advanced club lights.
Lasers
or whatever, you know, I'll put my hands up and I'll say, yep, it could have been that. But it appeared to be that the light was coming from the top down, not the bottom up.
Yeah. Hmm.
We couldn't see the beam of any kind. Right. So we were just stood transfixed with this... It would come up like a checkers board as well across the San Fernando Valley. It would just appear very balletic, very checkers board like. That's drafts for people in Europe. And so, like I say, it is Los Angeles, it is Hollywood, it could have been all kinds of things. I'll put my hands up and say that. It happened for an hour and a half, then it started again at 2:30 in the morning. And at half past two, it lasted for about half an hour, 40 minutes. Everywhere shuts in Los Angeles at 2:00.
Yep.
And, you know, they've had up their own arses there I better not mention the police. But I'm sure the authorities wouldn't have liked something shining in the sky after 2:00.
Sure.
Well, and it did.
The helicopters would have been bitching, right? I mean...
Well, yeah. That's what I saw. The strip of black light is the main bit that I've since posting it on the site, or thank you, Mark, for you posting it on the site. That's the bit that I realise is the most spectacular bit of the story. What else has happened? All the other stuff is kind of dismissible, really.
Last night was pretty cool.
Last night was pretty cool, yeah. But, I mean, apart from being up here, we've had... This probably just happens anyway, you know, but... We've had me and Jamo, my mate that was here, he's seen a globe go behind a mountain when we were out camping. And then we saw a very, very low, like 100 feet up, 200 feet up above this lake, shooting stars that were just there. It's like, oh, they're there. Because normally, you know, a shooting star is miles and miles and miles away.
Yeah. Well, they're in a way up their stratosphere.
Yeah, well, these things were just above the lake. Wow. And there was one or two of them. My girlfriend saw it, J-Mo saw it, a few other people saw it. Like I say, I'm sure it could have been a natural phenomena, but here's the thing. I've seen a few things that I can't explain. ATS helps me out, which I'm very grateful for. I'd like to know what they were. If it's military, okay, fine. Yep. If it's aliens... You know, and that's my deal.
Sure.
I'm not, you know.
Mine too, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we are being visited. I have said it in the past, You know, because I believed absolutely that we were, because I'd read a book. You know, one book.
Heard a bloke.
Yeah, I read that book that I read back in the 90s. And what I am saying is this. I saw something weird. What was it?
You know, and there's so many people out there that have, and they get ridiculed about it, and it's just wrong. I mean...
And, you know, you bring up an interesting point I wanted to ask you. Because you are in the position that you are, being a celebrity, do you find that people either become standoffish, or do you find that you're maybe attracting a different class of fans or admirers, or has there been a change? Because you've kind of been a little public about this.
Well, yeah, a little. Well, it's like I'm finding that, yeah, I don't go out too much. I'm a hermit. I like being at home. But when I have been out, it's been a broad spectrum of responses. There's been people that are coming up to me that don't want their friends to hear what they're saying.
Ah.
It's like they're coming up and going, I sleep with dogs.
Yeah.
You know, I practice donkey magic or whatever. But they're actually, you know, they come up and they go, yeah, I've seen something.
Something, yeah.
And it's, I don't understand why people are so, they're in that box, you know, that I was always very skeptical, and then I saw something that I couldn't explain and da da da.
And now I'm nuts.
And now I'm nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't talk to my friends, and I'm nuts.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I live where I live and who I hang out with. I'm in a safe environment. And here's the thing. I think that the nuts thing is a totally, these days anyway, media-created thing.
Absolutely.
Because even in the tabloids and stuff, do you believe in aliens or not?
Right.
80% yes. 20% yeah. No.
Right.
You know, and I think most people are just scared to admit it in front of people or whatever.
Well, I have documentary evidence. We have documentary evidence locked up in a vault in, of all places, Roswell, New Mexico, that proves the government did instill a program called Project Ridicule to make sure that line of thought was expounded upon, proliferated, you know, built up in the media, and became the norm. I mean... You know, what a great cover. Initially, it's believed it was a great cover for all the, you know, skunk works and military ops. Promote the UFO thing, that ridicule the hell out of it, you know. So when you're talking to the person individually as a government agent, say, you know what, you could very well be right. You truly may, you know, we suspected the aliens from coming around, whatever. But then when it gets out in the media, pew, make everybody laugh at it. Mm-hmm. We have documentary evidence to prove that, you know.
What I don't understand as well with a lot of the media is they'll put up photos that I can debunk.
Yep.
You know, and I want to put...
To keep it going. Keep the ridicule going.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I know better photos than that I could give you from, you know, our site, your site.
Sure. Well, that's like the Haiti video. There was a video about a year ago on YouTube that had something like 5 million hits.
Made Fox News, CNN.
Fox, CNN.
We debunked it in 3 hours.
Within 3 hours, the guys on our website, not only did they know what software that was used to make it, they knew the version.
And they picked
out the
palm trees.
And then the guy who did it came out and said, I'm a member.
All the palm trees are exactly the same. Yeah,
and that guy, you know, within several hours.
Meanwhile, Fox News and CNN, with all they could bring to bear on it, put it up as, oh my God, you know, we finally got real UFO footage. Now, is that crap or what?
I mean, it certainly makes you wonder if you're of the paranoid persuasion.
Sure. So do you think there's some form of cover-up going on?
Do I think there's some form of cover-up going on? Here's the thing. We might be actually far too nosy for our own good. You know, there might be actually... Or this might be government ops that they're just like, keep them big noses out. We need to get this sorted with it. You know, to be honest with you, I'd like to think there was a cover-up because I'm 5 years old in my head. And, you know, I think there might be five or eight. But us lot might be just be getting in the way.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, but that's all right too.
Well, with your interest being in the paranormal or the unidentified aerial phenomena, have you found that the media has kind of gone in a negative light when you are involved?
I've been told that they have.
Yeah.
You know, I chose over a year ago now, maybe a year and a half ago, to not read anything. But I'm aware of things that have been written and things that have been said, because, you know, I have friends that read papers, and I'm interested every now and again. Hey, Johnny, how's this gone? Oh, am I? Ooh, never mind. You know, but as yeah, and it's a much bigger and better story for them, me being absolutely mental, than there actually being something out there, and that's sick.
Right.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they can't complain about you or rag on you for being in rehab now. So now he's loving aliens. I mean, you know, get over it.
But you know, it is the thing. The whole whatever they say is that I've been working since I was 16. Fortunately, I'm in a position where I don't have to worry about much financially or my career. I've achieved everything that I want to achieve. Doesn't mean I'm not going to put an album out. But as far as them taking away my career,
no way,
because of my thinking or what I say, then all the best. Yeah. Do it.
Good you know, luck.
I'm still gonna write songs and still put them out.
Right.
I'm mental, yeah. Join the rest of the world.
Really? Who isn't?
Well, show me normal.
Right. I don't want to meet normal.
People always say bars. Come and you need someone normal. Come and sit with us. We're normal.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting with you. I don't like normal.
Normal's boring.
And who?
Isn't that boring?
And where's the certificate? Where's the certificate of normal?
Yeah.
But that's,
and who is it that decides what it is?
Yeah, who issues
absolutely.
That?
And this is my thing. Yeah, I've got my balls out and they're on the chopping block. I'm going, have a look at this, what I'm looking at. It's amazing. It could be the biggest story that there's ever been.
Right.
And it could be a pile of crap.
Yep. You know, huge thread on the site that somebody started, I don't remember who, about celebrities stargazing.
Uh-huh.
And you jumped on that one a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
you know, do you have any thoughts on that? And if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine, but I'm just curious because we know a lot of celebrities. And, well, I'm just not going to say anything more, but you are a real guy and you're really a nice guy.
Thank you.
And God bless you, man. And I mean that from my heart. I'm not talking smack.
Frighteningly enough, you're as normal as we are.
Well,
way to put it.
Well, I'm
f***ing. and I got this set of tabloids. You can kiss Springer's ass, and we're probably bigger than you anyway, so love you. Seriously, though, do you think there's has anybody contacted you or whatever? I mean, the membership want to know. I mean, it's obvious reading the thread.
Well, the stargazing thread was, I suppose that it is a debating site, ATS, and even though you shouldn't, you know, people go, just don't let things affect you, don't do this, don't do that, you know, don't respond. I'm not mature enough for that yet. You know, I will be at some point. I'm getting there. A touch of narcissism actually creeped in when I went, I'm jumping on this, and I'm going to have a chat with people, and go, no, you're wrong, or yeah, you're right, because it's about me. And it's quite scary because you're actually typing stuff that could be very, very explosive. So it's exciting. Mm-hmm. It is nice to debate with people. It is nice to get your point across.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting to read people's online personas. It's interesting to figure out who people are trying to be or portray themselves as. It's interesting to figure out how old they are or not, what sex they are. Intelligence
or not,
etc. And then what happens with me on the site is I'll do a little bit of posting for a bit and I go scared. And I'll probably jump back on in 3 or 4 months, maybe 2-3 weeks, who knows, whatever. But I enjoy being there.
Very good. And we should probably tell our members and listeners alike that nobody's voice cracked here. You did actually hear a female voice laughing.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
It was the beautiful.
Would you like to introduce some of the guests that have joined us?
Well, on my left is one of my very good friends, Chris, who's from England.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
And just below me here is my beautiful girlfriend, Miss Ida Field.
No.
Ah.
And just so you know, that
was Johnny he kissed.
Robbie and his lady friend kissing. It wasn't any of us. Thank you so much.
Not yet, anyway. Johnny and Cracker have something going later, but we're not going to bring that up.
Yeah, Brokeback Camper.
That's a different show.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you, Ida, a quick question.
Sure.
How do you feel about all this unidentified phenomena that's going on? Are you interested in it also?
I'm just, you know, Rob is an incredibly inspirational person, and I didn't know much about the field before I met him. and I'm...
I'm like the Malcolm X of UFOs.
He's like the Malcolm X of UFOs. And salad cream.
Yeah.
I'm really blown away by all of this stuff that he's shown me. Mostly on your site, I have to say. It's just...
God bless you.
No, it's ATS, abovetopsecret.com. There, is that what I was supposed to do? Yeah,
good job. Okay.
All right, get the hundreds out, boys.
But it really has changed my perspective on the world. Not just UFOs, but, you know, politically, too. Just everything is completely different. And I think once you get that knowledge or exposed to it, it's really impossible for you to go back to thinking about things in the same way. And at the same time, it creates a desire to learn even more, because you just realize, you know, the whole universe opens up for you when you start to see what's out there. And I'm so fascinated by it. And, you know, Rob has seen UFOs before. I've seen some very strange stuff in the sky.
Really?
I've never seen a UFO, and I really hope that one day I do, and I think I will. But yeah, it's really exciting.
You saw the globe.
I saw the, but
we don't know what.
We don't know what that was.
It was an unidentified.
And a red flying object.
Well, it was an unidentified object.
Object.
We don't know if it was flying. It might just have been sitting
so
there.
So I'm 2/3 of the way there then.
A USO.
A USO.
Now, by USO, do you mean an
not submerged.
Oh, okay.
That would be cool, too.
But he's coining his own term. Give him a little credit.
I'll tell you what I'm doing next week. And yes, right, this is mental, but I don't care. But me and my friends, we're just going to get some jet skis. We're going to rent some jet skis. And we're going to go from Marina Del Rey to Catalina.
That's a great ride.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Yes. On a wave runner.
For gigs and shiggles. But also because, you know, I saw that documentary about the USOs.
Yep.
And I heard about the sightings that were from Malibu of things going into the water. And, you know, I think it'd be quite exciting to be on a very, very small object, very, very high above the ocean floor, for one. And there might be something down there.
Yeah. I would recommend not shark fishing off of it. I did that. And
off of a wave runner?
Yeah.
Are you mad?
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't work out too well because I caught one.
Really?
Honest to God, yeah. It was bad, man. I didn't have a knife to cut the line.
Wow, I've done
that. Well, that's why I limp, you know. That's why I drink whiskey and limp. I mean, I've lived a hard life, man. Getting on to what Ida said, one of my famous, well, to me, in my miniature mind, it's famous, but I've always said, you know, if you just buy what they give you on the 6 o'clock news, you're going to walk through this world dumb and happy. When you find a site like Above Top Secret, you find out there's millions of people in the world who don't necessarily buy what they're giving us in the media, and they ask questions. And they'll find out there's what's called the wisdom of the crowd. And no one of us is anywhere near as smart as all of us. That's a Jim Mars line. Very good line. Remember that. No one of us is ever as smart as all of us.
Now, just so for some of our members.
I like that.
Yeah,
it's
true.
I like the way you made it nearly your own there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jim is a friend, and he does loan it to me. It's a little bit a month, but, you know.
It's a lyric. Thanks, Jim Mars. I'll put
that
in the song.
I saw you do it.
I actually did write that.
Jim, the check's in the mail.
Well, for some of our members and listeners that don't know, just briefly tell who Jim Mars is.
Jim Mars, oh, my God. There's very few members on our site who don't know who Jim Mars is, but visitors may not. Jim Mars wrote the book that became the great movie by Oliver Stone, JFK. Jim Mars also wrote a book called Above Top Secret, which will be on the shelves when?
October.
In October. You can pre-buy it on Amazon.com today.
Cool.
Thank you, Johnny.
Your
check's in the mail, too.
On that subject, Ida, why don't you tell me your little story?
Which one?
The Jim Mars and the JFK.
Oh, with my mom. I mean, my grandmother was... I'm supposed to...
You don't actually have to look
at it. Do I have to look at
the recorder?
You were just talking at dirt.
I have a tendency to talk at dirt. It's out. I'm glad we can share that. Mm. And... No, my grandmother was heavily...
It
does it what?
Yeah. Thanks, babe.
I didn't even think about the implications
of that.
Go on,
tell him.
My grandmother was heavily involved in the JFK conspiracy case.
Really?
And, and I think...
With
Garrison.
No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I kind of always grew up with that, you know. So for me, this is a very natural progression and wonderful thing to be exposed to because it's kind of like the branch from which I come. But my, I remember my mom would always tell me stories. My grandmother's passed now. And I remember she would tell me stories about how when they would, you know, they would go to the airport, they would get stopped, they would get searched, and then, you know, their stuff would never come back. And it alienated them from a lot of their friends because, you know, in the 60s, that wasn't a real popular way of thinking, you know, to question your government and to, suggest that maybe they had a hand in assassinating their president. You know, that was a huge deal at the time. And so I'm really grateful because, you know, my grandmother and I were very close, and you know, she would show me these documents and she would talk to me about all these things, and it was just fascinating to...
Is that the reason she left the country?
Yeah, she left the country. She actually left the country right after that because it disgusted her so much, the whole thing that she couldn't bear to be here, and she moved to Paris.
And Jim, we will get Ida in touch with you, I promise.
I'd love to meet you.
Yeah, she's got some stuff for you.
What? Yeah. They researched together, and they actually wrote something together. I don't know when but I have all the... My mom has all the files in storage and in our house. I'd have to take a look at them, but...
She's our next book. It really could. You and Jim could be our next book. We've got a series coming. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Yeah, I'm serious.
Sexy conspiracy. This one's got tits.
You've always got to bring sex in it, don't you, lad?
Yeah.
Your hormones are aging.
Are you talking about me or Jim?
Jim. I was just... I've seen Jim.
Good point.
Yeah.
We love you, man.
I was just imagining the front of the book and what you'd be wearing. I'm sorry. That's where I went.
There's a book. This has been great. I mean, we're in a beautiful environment. It is 75. It's flawless.
It's gorgeous.
Clear blue sky. We're waiting on aliens. The sun's about to set. Does it get any better, guys?
No.
Does
it? No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Robbie, are you relaxed?
If our generator would start, it might get a little bit better.
No, we don't need
no
it. It's
AC.
Cool.
Do you know, I do have to say that the above top secret team does have a bigger Winnebago than us.
Yeah. That was embarrassing.
Which was actually pointed out when we first met each other face-to-face in the car park of the RV place. But mine works, so...
Yeah. Actually, we're trading tonight. You just don't know that yet.
For the folks, for the people at home, if you have the opportunity, you know, and you've had the honour, the privilege to come up here, just try and get here because... I've been to some very expensive resorts. Yeah. I've been to some. Danny.
Hello.
We're doing a show. I've been, you know, the most exclusive places in the world. I've tasted this. I've done that. I've done this. To be honest with you.
Perfect.
This is as happy as I've ever been anywhere.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. This is my deal. I love this. A fold-out chair and a mountain. That'll do for me.
In a clear sky tonight, I mean, and lights, that's all we have.
And some tuna and potato, and I'm done.
We're going to play Arizona tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just as a weird coincidence, behind us we happen to have our guest with us. That's James Gillian. Hi,
our
James.
Our host.
Hi, James.
He's not our guest, he's our host.
Our host, excuse me, sorry. We're glad to... Say hello, James.
Hello, James.
There you go. Well done. Well done. Well, we certainly do appreciate you letting us come here and be our host to a wonderful place. Everybody has been raving about how wonderful this place is, so thank you.
It's really amazing.
I think
amazing.
My friend J-Mo's... Oh, J-Mo. This is my mate, J-Mo.
Say hi, J-Mo.
Hello, everyone.
Come and sit down, J-Mo.
How are you?
What did you see last night?
Last night, I saw what I'd never seen before when I was looking up, was something that I can't describe, but a light, a round light, and it was moving across the sky directly above me in a zigzag pattern, and that blew me away. And then
he was using some incredible night vision goggles.
Yeah, with night vision goggles. And then a few minutes later, I saw what I can only describe as like a noughts and crosses pattern with lasers going back and forth. What to my eye was just like laser beams going back and forth, but making these patterns, and it didn't last long, but it was happening, and I've never seen anything like it before. So,
and no one else saw this?
No, because
there's only one pair of goggles.
Oh, so only with the goggles.
Yeah. He had the goggles. Yeah.
Very when you cool. see something like that, you don't share.
Yeah, you don't hand the goggles off.
I'm keeping this one for myself.
Let us look. No.
There was a lot of goggle envy.
Goggle
last
envy,
night.
Yeah.
You just have to get some more of them.
Very cool. Well, listen, Robbie and company, we certainly do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule
to share some of your...
It ain't busy, but thank you. I know what you're saying. And thank you for having us. Thank you for having us on your show. Wonderful. We're having the most amazing experience.
Oh, great.
I think the vibes are right now. You know, mm-hmm. we've relaxed into the place. Everybody's feeling positive. Everybody's happy. Everybody's relaxed. Looking forward to some night action and some visitors, hopefully.
Yeah.
Once again, we want to thank everybody for joining us for this special edition of the ATS Mix. I'm Johnny Anonymous. We'll see you next time.
Hurrah!
Well done, boys.
Wow. I am so jealous of you guys. I mean, what an amazing, fun interview that was.
It really was, Dave. In fact, I'm sure that we'd all agree that the only thing that would have made this whole adventure any much more fun would have been if you would have been able to join us, Dave.
Oh,
absolutely.
That's very sweet. You know, I really appreciate that. Back to Robbie Williams' thing that we just experienced together. Of course, you guys were there personally. Stephen, you know, I mean, what was the one thing out of the interview that struck you as most interesting when your conversation with Robbie?
Well, as I said, you know, it was not really an interview. It was just a discussion. It was just a bunch of people hanging out and talking. And he was like he was when the tape wasn't rolling. He was just himself. He was just another guy talking about some weird experiences and, you know, how he got involved in this stuff and what makes him tick with regards to aliens, UFOs, and whatnot. It'd be no different than you talking to anybody else. It really would, and you can hear it in the interview.
Yeah, so in other words, he was real relaxed with you guys and everything.
Yeah.
All right, Mark,
very relaxed.
Was there anything in the four-way conversation that struck you interesting, and you know Robbie more than anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he was just proved to me, and I hope to everybody that listened to this thing, that number one, Robbie Williams, as he said, you know, he doesn't need to worry about anything financially or career-wise or anything going forward. And the guy is just... totally honest. I mean, I sat there, I've looked in his eyes, I've talked to him, you know, and the guy is purely sharing some strange things that have happened to him or he's seen over the course of his life, and he's a cool enough guy that he just wants to throw it out there and see if, you know, anybody else has seen anything similar or what have you. I guess what I'm trying to get at is there's no agenda. You know, Robbie Williams is not, you know, talking about this stuff to get attention. He's not, you know, doing anything more than just being a human being trying to connect with other people who may or may not have experienced strange things like he has. And I just think that...
It's just Rob who's into UFOs. Yeah. That's really what it is.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
I get the fact that he is who he is. He's just a guy who's who had a weird experience or two, and he's looking for like-minded people to sort of sort things out, I guess.
Right.
I'd like to just back that up. That my whole theory and thoughts on Rob and the whole event, including Rob and his crew, was that if I had not known that he was a huge pop star, I would have just thought that he was just another guy interested in UFOs like we were.
Yeah. Well, actually, the first night we were on the ranch, it actually there was a couple of the people there, and they wanted us to set up our stuff closer to them, or Johnny had thought about doing it closer to where these guys were hanging out for a better shot. And when Johnny mentioned something to these guys, you know, to James, I think, about how, you know, we can't really be around them because we're with, you know, Robin, we want to, you know, not have any problems with it, they had no idea who he was, but they knew Johnny. And they were more impressed with Johnny. They were.
Wow.
So, you know, I think for him, it's a chance to be around people that want to hear what he has to say.
Right.
Not because of who he is, but because of what he has to say.
And you know,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, exactly.
And you know, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and Mark, you know, I hate to interrupt you, but you know, I mean, what really amazes me about listening to this thing is you guys were really in a comfort zone with each other, and you can tell how comfortable Robbie is with what's going on, and you know, and I think he has a bit of excitement in his escapade with you guys, you know.
I hope so, you know. Here's what I hope. I hope that he realizes that, you know, we're in pretty much the same boat he's in. You know, we want to find out what the heck's going on as well. And it really isn't about, well, I sent Robbie an email months ago or weeks ago, I'm sorry, right before, you know, we were planning this trip. And I said, you know what, man, what I'm really looking forward to is meeting Rob, not Robbie. And I think he really appreciated that. And I think that the fact that he can go out and do stuff like this, and it's not all about Robbie Williams. It's about, here's a cool guy who's smart, he's funnier than hell, and he's interested in this stuff. And I think it gives him a break from, you know, having to be Robbie all the time, and he just gets to relax and pursue what interests him. And I hope that we can help facilitate that, and I hope we did.
I have to say that in some parts of our preliminary investigation, he was probably more skeptical about some of the things that were going on than we were.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, you know, the other thing is that he's around us, and we're probably more involved with the nuttier side of things than he is. So I would think he'd be a little bit more wary of us than anything else.
Yeah, he actually busted my chops on one of the things that I saw, because it was right after I saw the disc thing that really kind of got me excited. So I was still had that little, you know, adrenaline rush going, and he looks over at me and he's like, "Mate, you know, easy. It's an airplane or something." And he was right. You know,
right.
Like, damn. I see how people get caught up in this stuff.
I am so damn envious of you three guys. I want to just beat the crap out of all three of you with a 2x4.
I promise. He's, you know, the truth is, he's just another guy. I mean, I don't mean that in a negative kind of way.
That's
but you're right. That's what he is. He's just a guy, you know.
So he happens
to have a little bit more fun with it than we do. But you know, he's into the same things we are. He's into some things we're not into. You know.
All right.
Well, one thing that is really cool is that Rob, you know, by virtue of being as financially secure and successful as he is, and by virtue of the fact that, you know, every resort or whatever in the world loves to have guys like that, you know, come to their property, because obviously in the, you know, the hopes of a bunch of people following them to get a glimpse of them, whatever, it's good for business. But this guy has had the opportunity to do some amazing things in his life. And, you know, he shares those experiences, and I think he brings those to the table as well. I mean, you know, they rented a boat and went down the freaking Nile River, you know.
Really?
And you have stories about that. Yeah, you know, but so he's had the ability to go to places that, you know, 99.99% of the population has never been. And I mean the best resorts you can imagine. And what was really amazing to me is that the second day we were there, he looks over and he says, you know, he mentions it in the interview.
Yeah.
He's been to some of the most exotic resorts, whatever, and this was just an amazing place to him. That's how real of a guy he is. It's just amazing.
All right, I want to move on to Steve-O. You and I have not physically met, which was at the top of my list, besides Robbie being chapped that I couldn't meet because I so desperately wanted to meet you. But
thanks, man. I like that. I appreciate that.
No,
you're on my list, too.
No rowboat or anything, but, you know, just want to meet you.
Well, never mind.
Okay, so anyway, you're the resident skeptic of all the management team. And I mean, you know, you don't believe nothing, Steve-O. I mean, but I have to say that at least you'll go into a scenario, because you've done several of these little assignment things with Mark, but at least you'll go into it with open eyes. And Mark says it unequivocally. If Steven believes it, you know damn well that there's some validity to it. So they bring you along. So what my question, Steven, is that, you know, they bring you along as the resident, you know, grounding tool. So
you're
what
a tool.
You're a tool, dude.
I'll take one of Johnny Klein.
I appreciate that.
This is going so far south.
Dave, they brought me along to verify the claims, and I can attest to it. Yes, it was Robbie Williams. That's why I was there.
Okay.
You mean the other stuff?
Yeah.
What
was your assessment? Seriously.
Well, you know, you have to understand that it's not that I don't believe, because I do believe in certain things, and I have had my own sighting once, actually a few months ago. I just didn't make a big deal about it because I was alone and no one else has to believe what I saw. My take on the place is that there is certainly a lot of activity in the sky. What is it? Who knows? I mean, you know, I would love to have some of the equipment we had there somewhere else and see if it's as active, say, out at the east end of Long Island or, you know, Oklahoma or
that
wherever.
Is, that is,
I don't know.
By the way.
You know, I've never spent countless hours staring up at a dark sky through night vision goggles before. So I don't know if it's normal or not. Johnny was pretty excited about it, so I'm assuming that it was more than normal.
Let me jump in here real quick. Stephen, let's put it this way. You know, we definitely saw things up in the sky that were strange at a minimum. And the stuff in the sky were positive. Nobody could have possibly hoaxed. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, okay. I mean, are we allowed to talk about some of the things we saw?
Yeah. Well,
I know we were holding back a lot of things. Well, like, you know, there were a couple of things like, you know, the flash on the mountain, which is on the site. The following day, we saw campers and hikers on the mountain. So I immediately figured probably, you know, a reflection or something. And I happened to be up, thanks to my jet lag, at about 4 in the morning, the first morning, by myself. Actually, I think Danny came out at about 4:30 to hang out with me. And as the sun came up, it hit the mountain in a way that there was a wicked reflection right in that same area. Now, I don't know what it was, but it was there. So, you know, I don't put too much stock into it, but when we're looking through the night, you know, the night vision stuff, and I see two bright lights trailing each other across the sky for 5 to 10 minutes,
right?
That's pretty weird. I mean, I could see one as being a satellite or whatever, but two, evenly spaced, both of them moving at the exact same speed. I don't know what that is.
That was awesome.
I'm not an astronomer, so I don't know these things. Listen, if there could be an explanation for it, but for me, it was cool to see these things. We also caught a big meteor shower for, you know, the second night. It wasn't as good as the first night, but it was clearer the second night, and we got a lot of stuff that, you know, with that. And for me, having, you know, again, not spent hours staring up at the sky like everybody else has, it was pretty cool.
All right, so, I mean, other than that, was there anything that you experienced the time that you were there that, that was monumental to you as a non-believer, so to speak?
Yes and no. No, in that I didn't see anything that truly freaked me out. Except for Mark getting out of bed in the morning. Sorry.
and bending down and picking up that wet towel right out of the shower.
Actually, the unlocked bathroom door was pretty shocking and life-altering for me. Thanks, Mark. I'm so haunted by that. I'm seeing therapy. No, you know, a few months ago I was in Mexico and I was looking up at the moon. It was a very full moon. And my wife was in the bathroom. We were in an outdoor restaurant. And just beneath the moon was a bright light. And I figured it was a planet, you know, Venus or whatever. And it moved. It went one way, and then it went the other way. And it was all a matter of seconds. To me, that was pretty cool and life-altering. It was the first time I'd ever actually seen anything. Right. We didn't see anything like that, where a line was moving across the sky, stopped and changed directions. But seeing those two lights tailing each other, and again, it was, I don't know, 5, 10 minutes, maybe, tops.
Right.
It was pretty cool. Was it life-altering? No. Was it cool as hell? Yeah. Was it unexplainable? In my mind, it was.
All right, Mark, what did you see?
Well, as I've said many times before, you know, I've been involved in this stuff for 25 years. I've spent, I don't know, the last 15, 20 years, ever since the Internet was the Internet, creating websites, backing websites, you know, for people who are interested in this stuff. And I've never seen a damn thing in my life, ever. And I've crossed the Pacific Ocean 4 times and never saw a damn thing. While we were up there at the Gilliland Ranch, you know, that second night, crystal clear skies, we had, like, Stephen, you know, I vividly remember the two lights that were running in parallel across the sky. Shortly after that one, somebody hollered out, "Hey, you know, look at that." It was almost straight up. And I happened to have Johnny's amazing NATO assassin binoculars.
I love those.
These binoculars, these binoculars are huge, and they're really powerful. I just got them focused in for my, you know, for my eyes, and I caught this thing in the binoculars as it crossed the sky. And the only way I can describe what I saw was a large white disc. It was, you know, definitely lighted or lit. It did not in any way, shape, or form bring an airplane to mind. It had no, you know, none of the required blinking lights. It was so far up in the sky, I really could not see it without the binoculars. I mean, it was way the hell up there. And if anything, it was a pin dot of light that, you know, if I hadn't been paying attention And if I didn't have the binoculars, I would have never noticed it, ever. You know, I mean, it just would have cruised by and I never would have seen it. So I watched this thing for several seconds, and that really, I mean, you can ask Steven and Johnny. I was kind of giddy after that.
Yeah, you threw your hands up in the air and screamed, I saw a UFO! You went nuts.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Because it was what I've heard described by people that have seen these things, I don't know, 1,000 times. And I just looked at one, and I had no clue what that thing was. I mean, could it have been some bizarre, you know, military satellite? I don't know. I really don't. All I can say is it was a huge disc cruising across our sky way the hell up there. And I looked at satellites the same night through the binoculars. It didn't look anything like anything else that we saw that night. And there you go. I mean, that was an amazing sight to me.
And, right. You know, it should be noted that the reason why I didn't see it was because there was limited use of the good night vision equipment.
Exactly.
Right.
And Rob and his friends, you know, were also there with us. So it was sort of tough to get the goggles from, you know, you're seeing something really cool.
Goggle
and the only way to get it is to club someone over the head and take it from them. And you know, Rob's friends are big footballers. So I didn't really want to get to football with all of them.
It's called goggle envy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I want to make sure that it's clear that they were totally cool and cheering.
I didn't mean anything by it at all. No, they were great. It was a great group. I'm just saying there were, you know, 12 of us or whatever it was.
Right.
And, you know, by the time they got passed around, whatever it was gone. You know, and there were times where I had them and somebody else didn't get a shot.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we should also take a moment to talk about how good Johnny is with the equipment.
Well, that's where I was going next.
Look at that. I'm thinking just like you, Dave.
Listen,
me now. Or do you want to talk about Johnny's seasoning?
I don't know. Do we want to talk about
Johnny? Have you seen that photograph of Johnny with his specially seasoned chips?
Oh, was there cow?
Johnny found a bag. Johnny stopped one morning on the way to meet up with us. He stopped to stock up on supplies for us. We were running low on a few items. And he came back, and it was the day he did the dance, and he was so excited about this bag of chips called, like, Tim's Chips with special Johnny seasoning. And
Johnny seasoned salt.
Yeah, it was like Johnny seasoned. It was just a Johnny seasoned. And, of course, you know exactly what kind of jokes came out of it. And I have, I think, about 8 or 10 shots of Johnny with his bag of chips.
Oh, we've got to post that.
One of them is on the site. Johnny did post.
Do you know how wrong
that
sounds? Johnny with his bag of chips.
But he was so excited he did a jig in the camper. And it was like the old man who finds the pot of gold dance, only from the 70s. It was unbelievable. Yeah. There was Running Man, Cabbage Patch.
Oh, listen.
You busted a move.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, you're preaching to the
John Travolta, if you're listening to this, you got nothing on him.
Our next venture is going to be Above Dancing with host Johnny Terrio. And I'm anticipating a huge hit because this guy can shake it.
Yeah, on behalf of Above Dancing LLC.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, what was your take, John? I mean, I know you can sit there and take up the whole show and tell us because you're so anal in your analyticals. But tell me something.
Anal in your analyticals.
Yeah, there's a new show by Dave Rabbit.
It's a Davinism. It's a Davinism. You got to look it up in your fucking Davil. All right, now. Sorry. All right. Anyway, John.
Yes.
I mean. You know, this has been your holy grail for 25 years. I mean, you know, what impressed you that really just kind of, I don't know, made your day, John? Besides Steve-O.
Yes.
Besides me.
Well, actually, as I said in the original post, Johnny's back from Washington, and oh boy, getting to meet Cracker, a.k.a. Steven, and Springer, Mark, for the second time, was an extreme joy. In fact, even though we were trying to take this preliminary investigation very seriously, I have to tell you, it was kind of like a college frat party with the three of us all there. That's how seriously, that's how much fun we had. We, you know, there's no reason anybody that goes out and does ufology and field work and does not have a sense of humor, you guys need to get a clue, because you got to have some humor in all this, or else you're going to just go nuts. shots, because like Steven said, you know, there is a lot of hours that are involved when you're staring up the sky. There's a lot of neck pain involved as you're looking upwards, and you wake up the following morning, you go, how come I got a stiff neck, honey? But I do want to comment on one thing before we get into perhaps what I saw and my take on this, and that is that the binoculars that Mark was using, Springer, those are Russian night vision tank binoculars with a 7x power lens on them. And of course, so he was able to see.
Awesome.
He was able to see stuff that nobody else was able to see. And unfortunately, when we're trying to capture stuff that people are seeing, because they're using higher grade generation military goggles and devices, right. our equipment, which allowed video input, and unfortunately, there's not too many military goggles and devices out there in the generation 2 and 3 that allow you to hook up a video input to it. So we weren't able to catch that. So I'm going to apologize to our listeners and our members alike that a lot of things that you're hearing being talked about right here simply were not caught. So you're going to have to take it just simply on the testimony of what Cracker and Springer and I are telling you for whatever
but
that's
Johnny,
worth.
Johnny, you should point out that other people saw what Mark saw with those binoculars.
Yes. Oh,
because they were passed around. We just didn't all get to see it.
Yes.
Because Mark hogged it for quite some time.
Correct. But that's what I was saying. You're going to have to just take it on the credibility and the merits of our giving our testimony verbally,
yes,
versus right. my having some video corroborative type of footage to be able to back that up with. We unfortunately, a lot of the things that we did see, and we did see a number of unusual events and phenomena that we were not able to explain. Now, one of these events that I want to point out to you is that despite our seeing all these, we had real-time NASA satellite data that was up. During the periods of 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., there was only one satellite listed, and that was at either 11:13 or 11:15 p.m. Now, I even told Mark and Steven and the whole crowd, I've never been out on an investigation where there was absolutely no satellites at all in the area for our longitude and latitude, and yet here it says there's nothing up there. We saw a number of different things, probably 25, 30, if not more, objects in the sky. So we all agreed that when we came back here, the first thing we were going to do was look into the NASA archives to see if that data was actually true or if it was a glitch. I'm happy to report that in doing so, we did find out that indeed on that evening, during that time period, in fact, I've made up a little graphic that I'm going to include in one of the video footages that we will be submitting here. There were, and indeed, a lot of satellites in the area. So were a lot of the things that we are seeing satellites? Probably, more than likely, I would say 90%, if not more, that we saw were probably satellites. Now, what we cannot classify in that satellite category are the ones that seem to slow down and stop, the ones that seem to zigzag, and then like the one that Springer saw and wobbled. Exactly.
Right.
So that's pretty much all I want to add without really going into a lot more detail of some of the stuff that's going to be coming up, because I kind of want to keep the anticipation of some of the captures and things that are coming
up. We don't want to give away all the neat stuff.
And I would also like to throw in, if I may, before we end this, to everybody on the site who is, and thankfully it's not many, but to the people who are saying, you know, God, why are you guys dribbling this stuff out? You know, this is crap. You're just trying to make money off of it and drag it out a little bit at a time. I got a news flash for you. All right,
I'm default.
We're talking about 120 hours of video that God bless Johnny has to go through. We're talking about, you know, we spent money to go up and do this, and when we present it, we're going to present it in the ATS way, above top secret way, and it's going to be good. It's going to be tight. It's going to look good. It's going to sound good, and we're not going to release it until we all agree that it's ready to be released. And the last thing I want to say is everything that we put out there is going to be put out exactly the way we saw it. We make no representations about what you're looking at. We make no assumptions about what you're looking at, because in the AboveTopSecret.com fashion, we believe in the wisdom of the crowd. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this stuff out there just as fast as we can get it out to you.
Right.
And we put it out there for everyone to look at, and let's see that if, you know, bringing several thousand minds together, we can get a handle on the things that weren't obviously satellites. Let's see if we can figure out what they were.
I'd also like to add that there's a lot of footage there. Of probably 80% of the footage that is captured has no audio on it. So please, don't start screaming, how come there's no audio on this? What are you guys hiding? The infrared device that we used only had a video output. It did not have video and audio. So what you see, you know, and actually I think that's a great thing, because then you can judge what you're looking at solely on the purpose of what you're looking at. You're not hearing a bunch of people screaming in the background, oh, look, there it is. It's powering up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
So, so there's none of that.
And I'd also like to add that we won't have any trippy music behind our stuff either.
Yeah. Johnny had trippy music on some of his videos, didn't he? When we saw his videos?
Yeah.
No, but you know what? The truth is, if it's silent, you'll get your own oh blank moment.
Yeah.
Right.
If you see what we saw. If you don't, then there's nothing there. That's all.
Right.
I mean, for 3 days we made jokes about, you know, we needed an oh blank moment, and we needed to have it, to experience amongst us.
Right.
And wouldn't it be cool to capture it on tape? Because it seems that everyone who shows you a video has it. And we came to the realization that you don't need the sound.
Right.
Because the video is really what you're looking at, and the sound, for anyone else, is going to sway you. And it's like Johnny said, it's powering up, whatever the hell that means.
Depending on when this show is put up, and if it's normally, it'll be probably on a Friday, but it may or may not have been launched, what we are all talking about. But if it has been launched, I want to personally say, and I know everybody will agree with me, that the absolute masterful touch of Bill, a.k.a. Skeptic Overlord, on the device that he's using for people to be able to go and look at this amazing stuff
that you guys
experienced personally. I mean, we've all seen kind of the preview thing, and I'm telling you, it will absolutely blow you away. I can't thank Bill enough for his contribution, and, I mean, this is what he does. He's a professional.
Well, Bill Irvin is not only a technical wizard. He's a brilliant artist, and that is the very, very unique combination that allows us to present this stuff not only technically great, but aesthetically incredible. And I really think we're all fortunate to have a partner like Bill. You know, it's just a rare person who can not only be the technical guru, but just has an artistic eye, you know, second to none, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Hey, maybe he'll change that sad avatar to something a little bit happier.
Yeah, one where he's like on his tiptoes walking around or whatever, dancing or something.
Hey, Dave?
Yes?
Let me ask a quick question here. Now that we're actually in the process of getting this thing off the ground,
right.
I understand there may be something next coming up in late September with ATS. What's that all about?
Yes. In fact, hopefully we're going to have the trailer on the thing. But Mark Allen, Johnny Anonymous, and yours truly, Dave Rabbit, we're going to be at the 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo, which is the 27th and 28th of September. And
with a cocktail party on the 26th.
We're going to be there. We're going to be there with bells on. And we're going to be having a blast. We hope all the members and guests and all the people that listen to the shows through the feeds and whatever, if you're in the California area, in Santa Clara, we would love for you to come by and visit Mark, Johnny, and I and say hello
Absolutely.
To us.
And there's only...
What's that website address, John?
It's www. I can tell you exactly what it is. And it's Dave, www.thebayareaufoexpo.com.
The Bay Area UFO?
The Bay Area UFO Expo.com.
Yeah.
Everybody
All
needs
one
to
word.
Check that out.
All one word.
Yep.
All one word. And I want to add.
We really hope that Above Top Secret guests, members, listeners really support this. Victoria Jack's a wonderful woman. She's been doing this for, obviously, for 10 years, 10th anniversary. Great story behind why she puts this huge event on every year. And it's one of the biggest in the country, if not the world. So definitely come check that out.
And I want
area.
To add to what everybody has said here. Besides meeting the three of us, we have something kind of special planned. When you show up, bring Dave a can of Bush beans. Actually, you could bring any can of beans you want, but Bush beans are preferred. Bring me a box of tea, and bring Springer a bottle of Maker's Mark, and you've made our day.
Yeah, and for those
you
of you
have
that
indeed.
And, wait, and since I'm not going to be there, send $1 to ATS World Headquarters, care of Cracker.
$1. Yeah. Okay.
You know, when you guys are there, Dave, you need to have Johnny do the dancing thing. But you also have to get him to show you. Wait, you have to get him to show you what the dancing has done for him. I've never seen a guy work the tripods with the cameras the way this guy did, balancing them on his feet, basically,
unreal,
to get the sky so that he could move them without losing any of the stability of the camera. It was the most unbelievable thing, everyone was watching him. No one was watching the camera. He was tracking objects and basically laying on the ground holding up two tripods to get to it the same
time. It was like tripod ballet. I mean,
it was, and that's where the dancing comes into play. It really paid off, John.
Well, you know, I have some season tickets to the tripod ballet in here in Dallas, and I'm excited about it.
You know, in this preliminary investigation, even though we are no longer there at the sanctuary at the ranch, the preliminary investigation and the search for information continues on. And one of the things that I wanted to just briefly pass on is that while the ATS team had wrapped up and gone ahead and took off, Robbie and his crew came back and they did they continued on with their investigation, and they did some incredible things, including going up to the mountain itself. Is that not true, Springer?
That is true, and thank you for bringing this up because I almost forgot about it. Not only did they do that, but on their way out of Dodge, they had the pilot cruise over the mountain.
Wow.
So they literally got to fly over the mountain. Rob, you know, he looked up and he said, "Hey, man, you know, is it okay if we go fly over the mountain?" The pilot said, "Sure, no problem. I mean, there's nothing on the charts indicated restricted airspace or what have you," and they literally just flew right over the mountain and got a really tight close-up look at of it.
Right.
Didn't get a chance to you know, get into it deeply with him, but, you know, that's pretty cool, you know.
I was led to believe that it was a Indian reservation and that, you know, they didn't like people, didn't like the white man going there. So, obviously, that's...
Well, except that we saw people hiking on the mountain on...
Exactly. And Robin's crew literally walked up, I believe he told me, past the tree line, and they were pretty much right there and never got confronted or questioned at all.
I've done some research here, Dave, on that exact subject, and that
the back
portion, the northern side, which would have been the flip side of the mountain that we could not see, that is actually part of the Yakima Reservation, and you do have to have permission to climb on the mountain from that end. But apparently, from our end that we saw the hikers, it is like a, not BLM or Bureau of Land Management, but forestry land, which I guess still falls under the Bureau of Land Management. But the public does have access to that. But supposedly the northern side and the northeastern side is part of the, and I believe it's the Yakima Indian Reservation property. So you cannot climb back there. And supposedly, according to our host, he has been given permission by the Indians to climb back there, and supposedly he had all sorts of things that he saw back there with sticky.
Yeah, but the door that he claims is in the middle
is
of the mountain
on our
is on
side.
The opposite
Correct.
Side. Yeah,
is on our side.
Okay, the big light in the mountain. Mark, you said in your own words in the little video teaser thing that, you know, being in the Coast Guard, whatever, you're very familiar with lights and distances or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like 15 miles away.
The sailor in the rowboat.
And it would have had to have been a hell of a big light to do that. Okay, so
Mike,
methodical question has to be, is it any way possible that a human being or whatever could have put a light up there and, you know, had this thing gone at a certain time, or is it implausible because of the face of the mountain and whatever?
Well, we know it's possible because we saw people hiking around the next day. So I'm going to put it this way. That light on the mountain, after seeing people hiking around on the mountain, and after realizing that Rob and crew pretty much took a walk and probably could have gone anywhere they wanted, that light really becomes a light on the mountain in my mind. Nothing spectacular about it at all, unfortunately. But it was a hell of a light. I mean,
it was very cool. It was very bright. It did go in and out, and it did move a little bit. And that night, it was phenomenal to us. But the next day, it was Rob's friend Gavin who was staring at the mountain through the binoculars and said, "Hey, there's hikers on the mountain."
Right.
We all said, "Really?" And we ended up spending a good deal of the day watching them go up and down all around the region where the light was.
Track.
Yeah. So
now, you know, another possibility too is that if there was, you know, more than one group of people up there, you know. And they have lights, which, if I think about it logically, if I'm going to go up in a mountain in a rugged terrain like that in the dark, I'm bringing a hell of a light.
You know? Well, the other thing is they could have been having a campfire. Yeah. They could have been eating bush beans.
That wasn't a fire, though.
Could have been a campfire. All right, but now you talked to Robbie afterwards, Mark. Now, you know, when he said they flew over whatever, did he make any comment whatsoever that he saw, you know, like a one of those searchlight things or anything on the face of the mountain when they flew around?
No.
Okay.
No, he didn't.
So
that would have been tough.
And do you think it would have to have been something as big as a searchlight to produce that kind of light from that distance?
No. I mean, I've got a handheld 8 million candle power searchlight.
Do you really?
So, I mean, you can really, feasibly, you could go up there with 12 million candle power light that would not require a big tripod or a generator to run or anything else. You know, I mean, my question today is the same as it was that night. Why? You know, why the hell would you go up there and shine your searchlight?
But in our teaser, Springer, you said that to create a light that bright would have required something 20 to 30 million candle light bright.
No, no. 13.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Huh?
You did.
You did.
You overacting clown. You did.
Yeah, you did.
wait a minute. And that's still fine. You know, I've got a handheld 8 million. But that light.
Yeah, but that's because it gets dark on the phone.
That light was freaking bright.
From 13 miles away,
Listen, it was a bright light. It was a big light.
13 miles away.
But after everything that happened...
13 miles away.
Yeah, and after everything that happened, it was not quite as important to us as it was the night before.
Yeah, the stuff in the sky was the really neat stuff. The mountain thing was interesting, but it's unknown at this stage, right?
It's unknown, but it seems to have an explanation, a possible explanation.
Right.
I mean, there are a few different things that could have happened.
I was just going to say, to wrap up on the mountain,
is supposedly there's a door there. We saw absolutely no evidence of that at all.
Right.
Supposedly, you know, there's base or all kinds of activity on the mountain.
Right.
My personal opinion is the first night we saw an incredibly bright light on the mountain. It was amazing that night. The next day we see people walking around. I'm out. I mean, people can walk around up there. We know they can. Can they bring a big-ass light? Yes. Why would they? Same question. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a tremendously powerful light.
The other thing is also that first night it was cloudy. We didn't have much better to see in the sky.
Right, that's true.
We were really pumped up about seeing something, and when we saw that light, and if I remember correctly, I think Ada was the first one to see it, and it was exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. There was a weird flashing light on the mountain, and we got really into it, and then as the day progressed the next day, when Gavin pointed out the hikers, it became somewhat less important, but it still was a bright light.
Right.
So, thus, you know, the comments that were made, you know, that it was a big bright light, and why would anyone put it up there? No, I don't think anyone was up there trying to screw with us.
Right.
You know, but would someone drag one up there? No, probably not. But was it probably some kind of a light? Yes, it probably was some kind of a reflection off of something, or someone with a bright light that just happened to shine it in the exact way that would make it look like it's something else. Who knows? But I don't think it was anything done to us
to reflect.
I don't know. I disagree.
Now the other
possibility
is there were some people hiking up there and camping, and they saw us. You know, they were up there with binoculars and stuff. And
we were shining lasers at them all day and night, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You were shining lasers at these folks?
Oh,
yes, we were shining lasers at them to point out it. They're astronomical green 5 and 10 milliwatt lasers that we use to point things out.
I still have this question. Okay, Mark, you said you have a flashlight that's 8 million candle power. Where the hell do you get an 8 million candle power flashlight?
not flashlight. It's a searchlight. It's a nautical searchlight.
Oh well, I mean,
like if you're a sailor or you know, if you do serious sailing racing,
right.
You got to have stuff like that. I mean, it's,
yeah, but Mark, you know, an 8 million candlewatt light like that will blind the other guy in the rowboat.
As we get back to the rowboat, yes.
John,
we're gone.
John, yes. what were you disagreeing with, Johnny?
Here's my quick question. You've got an 8 million candlewatt light searchlight. How far?
8 million candle power. Yeah.
Eight million. So how far will that shoot across effectively?
The effective visual range of that in pristine conditions, which we did not have. There was definitely clouds and lots of moisture in the air that night.
Yes.
But on a you know, pristine conditions, that's about a, you know, about an 8 mile light.
8 miles.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, 40 miles, someone could see it. So it's like if you were stranded at sea and you were doing the SLS with your light, you've got a 40 mile. I mean, to the horizon, it's basically horizon to horizon.
But it would not have looked as bright as what we saw.
My opinion.
Yes.
What I saw was much more powerful than, you know, what I have.
Right.
Based on it being 13 and a half miles away, a cloudy night, and I go by the diameter of the circle of light, okay?
Right.
A pin dot of light would be maybe a million candle power over 13 miles. I mean, it's really not that hard to figure out if you think about it.
Sure.
So you go from a pin dot to, you know, that thing was as big around as the tip of my pinky, and I know it was because I held my pinky out right when it flashed, and it was as big around as the tip of my pinky.
Right.
That's a hell of a light.
Yes, I agree 100%. The only thing I don't necessarily agree with is that because we did see hikers going up the following day, that should then dismiss any of the lights that we saw on the mountain, and I disagree with that. I don't think that should be the case. I think that should only be more fuel for the fire to try to find out if they were associated with that. Because to me, that's like saying the same thing in the ufology area, which is, well, because we see lights in the sky that are airplanes and we can see those lights, we should not give any credence to any of the other lights.
Okay,
then
you misunderstood my intent. My intent was not to dismiss it. My intent was to say there's many possibilities that are mundane after we saw people physically walking around the mountain. Certainly does not rule out anything else, but I agree with you. It adds fuel to the fire. It certainly does not put the fire out.
It doesn't rule it out as anything. It just makes it a little bit less essential my mind in comparison to two lights trailing each other in the sky, or some of the things that you saw after we left that we haven't, you know, that we haven't all seen yet.
Right.
You know, those kind of things to me are always a little bit more impressive. I think that when you've got something going on, you know, in an area, and the next day there's a explanation, it may not be the explanation,
right,
but it's a explanation, it diminishes the excitement about what it was. And so, you know, are we a little blasé about the lights on the mountain? Yeah. Should we be? Maybe not, but we saw other stuff that was cooler, that was a little harder to explain.
I think it's also very reasonable to consider all the stories that are being shared about all the activity on the mountain. You know, before we saw hikers, those stories held a lot of gravitas that was possibly reduced a little bit the next day when we saw people hiking around the mountain.
Agreed.
Because we're on the conspiracy website, I have to throw this in from a conspiracy angle. And I mean, in James' own words, the guys in the black helicopters and the black SUVs have definitely been out there. Now, what would you do if you were one of the guys in black and you wanted to discredit any possibility of real factual sightings? Would it be possibly that you would put a group of your people up on the mountain knowing that they're going to be seen to possibly discredit what was seen?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Or show up unannounced.
Or
you could just show up unannounced.
You know, just call it my 2 years at AboveTopSecret.com, but, you know, I could see that would be very easily a way to try to discredit.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, when you consider Project Ridicule, when you consider, you know, Rick Doty out running around in the late 80s, early 90s around Area 51 promoting the UFO story in what they thought was an effort to cover up the stealth bomber test flights and everything else. Yeah, anything's possible in that regard.
And John, I sort of discussed this with you today. We were leaving. I put a lot of stock into what you see. I think that you know what you're doing.
Right.
And you know how to document these things. But if you came to me after 3 or 4 extra days up there and said, I saw a triangle, and you didn't have video footage.
Which, by the way, I did not.
I know, even though they're saying you did. But I wouldn't care, because to me it wouldn't mean anything without seeing the video footage.
Sure.
Because you could have really believed you saw a triangle.
Right.
Because they're sitting there cheering you on. Just like when James comes over and he says to me, my batteries are dead, and then he takes the batteries out, charges them in his hands, puts them back in the camera, and then shows me the camera is working again. He didn't let me look beforehand, so I disregard the entire conversation.
All right, well, since you brought it up, right. I have to follow through with this. When I was doing you guys had left, and I did my interview with James, and I have a small Olympus audio recorder, my batteries were dead. I know this to be a fact because it would not even turn the display on to tell me that I had dead batteries. I went to go get more batteries. James says, let me have those. He had them. They were special batteries, so I know there was no way he could have swapped them or exchanged them. He held them for about 5 seconds, handed them back to me. I put them in. I had a full charge, and it worked great. That is my own personal experience, my own personal story. It is on the interview that we posted up last week, and at the very end of the interview, I even lean over and look at it, and it still shows that it had a full charge. Now, whether he did some voodoo, some hocus pocus, some swapping, I don't think that was possible because his arms and hands never left my eye. So I don't know how to really explain that.
On the flip side, yes. The first night when your batteries died,
yes.
He couldn't charge them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they were rechargeable batteries, and actually he tried that with several.
He said that they were never charged originally, so he couldn't charge them for you. We bought brand new batteries. Remember, they didn't work?
All right. All right. So let's wrap this up with the battery thing, okay?
I just have one.
But anyway, Johnny, my point is that without seeing everything from beginning to end,
yes,
I don't put a lot of stock into those things. So who knows where those MREs came from? It's kind of like when I was in the back and I saw that yellow helicopter and James came bolting out of the woods with his camera going, is it military? Is it chasing something? I'm like, no, it's a yellow helicopter. Like,
I agree with you 100% because you did not see it. I'm just sharing what happened with me. Whether I got hoodwinked or not, I'm not able to say for sure, and I'm willing to include that in the equation of the X factor. But
I'm not even saying hoodwinked. I'm saying maybe somebody else left them there.
To put this to bed.
I have one question.
Hold on. The next time any one of us or anybody affiliated with us goes to the Gilliland Ranch, we will bring a voltmeter, we'll bring two batteries, and we'll bring an appliance the batteries run on. We'll drain the batteries with video cameras running, multiple witnesses. We'll voltmeter the batteries to prove they are in fact dead. We'll hand them to James. Let James do what James does. We'll put them back in the voltmeter, and we'll find out if they're charged or not. Then we'll put them back in the appliance and see if it works. And that will be that. Until then, let's drop it.
I have one. Can I ask one question?
It better not be about batteries.
It's not.
So anyway, I need 2D batteries.
I was going to go.
I'm sure Rob's listening to this right now, going, "Can't believe this is what they're closing with."
Actually, I think this is healthy because it shows our members that it doesn't matter who we are or what position we have. If we have a debate amongst ourselves, that's healthy because we're trying to once again get to the truth.
That's why it needs to stay.
That's right. Even if Johnny's wrong and he's not.
That's right.
even if Johnny has lost his marbles and believes that there's free energy circling through the universe to give life to all things.
You know what? He's going to tap into that free energy, and he's going to start seasoning those chips.
Exactly.
And he'll be fine. Johnny will be okay. Johnny, I'm with you.
Johnny is our guy.
I actually.
Right. I'm wondering, should we change your name to Seasoned Johnny Anonymous?
I'm a big Tesla fan. You guys know.
the music.
A Tesla.
Tesla,
that heavy metal band from the '80s.
Is that the band?
Wish they'd come out with another album too. Yes.
Yeah, Nick. I think we should change Johnny's name to Johnny Above.
Johnny season. It's going to be season. Johnny Anonymous.
Season Chips.
Johnny Above, top secret.
Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Johnny Above.
Yeah. Well.
But above.
I guess that's about all the way we can sit there and do this. We hope everybody has enjoyed this exclusive interview with Robbie Williams by Mark Allen, Stephen Melzer, and my partner, Johnny Anonymous. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed some of the things that we may have given you as an observation. But we want to remind everybody what our site's about at AboveTopSecret.com, and that's denying ignorance. So say goodnight, Stephen.
Goodnight, Stephen.
Goodnight, Mark.
Goodnight, Mark.
And on behalf of myself, Dave Rabbit, I'll throw it to my Johninator friend.
Good night, Johnny.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. Thank you.